Welcome to Swish and Tell, the show where we catch you up on stories you might have missed from the peachbasket.net. So, let's start with the Memphis Grizzlies, dropping a bombshell. Taylor Jenkins is out as head coach. I mean, when you think about it, the timing couldn't be more dramatic. It's like he's been navigating injuries all season, Ja Morant missing 30 games, and then boom, he's gone.
Right, and it's not even like Memphis had a lousy record. Fifth in the West isn't tanking, man. But you know what? The assistant coach shuffle last year, that had Jenkins written out of the plan already. You don't fire five guys without some tension brewing behind the scenes.
Exactly. And here's what matters most, the morale. This team has been through enough with Ja in and out of the lineup. They're juggling injuries and expectations. Now they're throwing adjustment into the mix with only a handful of games left in the season. It's not the kind of clarity you need heading into playoffs.
Man, and speaking of playoff struggles, we got to hit on Damian Lillard for a second. I mean, out for the season maybe? That's, what'd you say, devastating?
Devastating, without a doubt. For the Bucks, this isn't just about losing a guy who puts up 30 a night. It's the ripple effect. They've built this system around Lillard and Giannis. Now what? It's not like you can just pivot with a snap of your fingers.
Yeah, it's kind of wild how Milwaukee's stuck deciding whether to ride this out or think long term. Like, they pushed for their all-in season, but now what happens if this falls apart? Feels like there's going to be some real hard conversations in the offseason.
If they even get to the offseason with this core intact, right? And then there's Cleveland. They're averaging, what, over 123 points allowed in their last five? For a team with playoff aspirations, that's not just bad defense. That's a crisis.
For real. I mean, giving up that many points this late in the year, something's got to give. And it's wild, too, because earlier this season, they were locking teams down. Where did it all go wrong?
It's the defensive lapses, plain and simple. You can't just expect players like Donovan Mitchell to carry you offensively and then slack off on the other end. I wouldn't be surprised if Bickerstaff's got them running defensive drills in every single practice before the playoffs start.
If they make it past the first round at this rate, man.
Fair. If they don't clean it up, nothing else really matters. And like you said, this isn't early season stuff. This is crunch time. All right, speaking of crunch time and getting things right heading into the playoffs, let's talk about the Boston Celtics. Their three-point shooting has been outrageous, and people love to call them a team that just chucks threes. But it's not random at all. They're running some of the smartest plays in the league. Between Horns and Spain PNR, their schemes are like a masterclass in exploiting defensive gaps.
Exactly. And the thing is, they're not just camped out on the perimeter waiting to shoot. I mean, they'll drive into the paint first, collapse the defense, and then, bam, kick it out to a guy like Al Horford who suddenly has all day to line it up.
Right. And Horford's role is huge here. He's not this flashy scorer, but his spacing and decision-making are crucial. Watch how he pulls defenders in just by positioning himself. Then when the ball rotates back to him, it's usually lights out. It's also calculated.
Dude's been around forever, but he's figured out how to fit into this system. He's setting those mean screens that clear space for shooters. It's not glamorous, but it works, man.
You're spot on. Horford's not putting up 18-point games regularly anymore, but his off-ball activity? It's underrated. And when you combine that with how disciplined this team is, it becomes really hard to defend. Just ask the Suns. They got absolutely torched.
Man, those defensive lapses were brutal. Every time they'd rotate late or sag off someone even for a second, the Celtics would hit them with a backdoor pass or an open three. Nick Richards, he must be having nightmares about that game.
And the irony is, the Suns actually have the tools to challenge a team like Boston. They just didn't execute. Hands down, missed rotations, giving shooters like Horford or White too much space. It's like defensive fundamentals 101 went out the window.
It's wild how fast the Celtics pick you apart if you're not locked in. Like, one moment of hesitation, one bad angle, and they've already passed twice and found the open man.
And it's not all just talent, it's their coaching. These aren't accidental threes. The Celtics run specific setups that exploit overcommitted defenses, plays like those flare screens. They leave guys wide open, and Boston just eats that up.
So, you're saying teams got to step up their game planning if they want to slow these guys down? I don't know, man. With how fluid Boston looks right now, stopping them sounds easier said than done.
It's true, but it's also about consistency. Teams have to stay sharp for 48 minutes because the second you slip, Boston makes you pay. You know, speaking of efficient and calculated execution, let's talk about Sandro Mamukelashvili. His performance against the Knicks? Record-breaking stuff. 13 out of 14, 7 for 7 from deep, all in under 20 minutes. That kind of efficiency doesn't just break records. It sends a message about untapped potential, even on struggling teams.
Wild, right? And to put it in perspective, this dude's barely talked about until a game like this happens. He goes perfect from three, drops 34 points, and bam, he's in the record books. You love to see it.
And performances like that give fans a reason to hope. Look at the Spurs. They're out of the playoff picture. But moments like Mamu's could signal a brighter future. He's showing what he can bring when given the opportunity. It's that kind of spark teams shouldn't overlook.
Exactly. And if you're a fan, you're thinking, man, what if we build a system around a guy like him? He's not just filling the stat sheet. He's making a statement that he belongs in this league.
Speaking of making statements, let's shift gears to the top playoff contenders. Oklahoma City, Boston, Cleveland. These are teams where consistency and dominance really stand out. OKC's locked in as the favorite, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading the charge.
Oh, absolutely. OKC's been untouchable, man. 10-game winning streak, they're sitting on a comfy lead in the West. But here's the thing. I know Boston's trailing 4 games behind Cleveland in the East, but they've still got that champion swagger. You can never count them out.
Agreed. The Celtics' mix of discipline and playmaking makes them a nightmare matchup for anyone. And then there's Cleveland. A 60-15 record sounds amazing, but their recent defensive struggles? That's going to be an issue if they don't tighten things up before the postseason.
Right? Averaging over 123 points allowed? That's not just a red flag. That's a full-on alarm blaring. They've got superstar talent, but man, if the defense doesn't hold up, they're toast.
And while we're on the topic of playoff implications, let's not forget about those spoilers, the Charlotte Hornets. They're not making the postseason, but Miles Bridges led the charge in their win against the Jazz. And with their upcoming games against teams like the Pacers and Kings, they could really shake things up.
Oh, for sure. It's wild how even with such a tough season, the Hornets can still play a massive role down the stretch. That win against the Jazz, never trailing, shows they've got fight left in them. And guys like Bridges, he's stepping up when it matters, even if the stakes are lower for them.
Exactly. Teams on the fringe of playoff contention hate seeing a spoiler like Charlotte on the schedule. It's not just about the win-loss column, it's about momentum. A single upset could derail a playoff push or disrupt seeding. These closing weeks are when you see heart and hustle shine.
No doubt. Even as the season winds down, every game still means something. For the players, for the fans, for what's next. And honestly, seeing teams like Charlotte embrace that spoiler role, it just speaks to the heart of the game.
And on that note, let's wrap things up. We've covered coaching changes, key injuries, playoff strategies, and even the role of spoilers. The NBA, as always, reminds us why we love it. Constant surprises, relentless competition, and moments that make us say, "Did that really just happen?"
Couldn't have said it better. And that's the beauty of it, man. The game keeps us guessing, and we love it for that. All right, y'all, we're out. Catch you next time on Swish and Tell.